Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and I couldn't be happier today because our special guest is respected film critic Diana Sanger, and we'll be talking with her in just a few minutes about one of my favorite film genres, mystery movies. You know, I absolutely love a mystery. So we're piggybacking on the American Film Institute's top 10 TV program scheduled for tonight on CBS. And we'll be discussing the AFI's list of nominees and picking our choices as the all-time best mystery movies. Here are a few of the 50 films nominated by AFI in this category: The Big Sleep, Charade, Mulholland Drive, The Thin Man, To Catch a Thief, Rear Window, The Bourne Identity, In the Heat of the Night, The Fugitive, Rebecca, and The Usual Suspects. And of course, I'm very eager to hear our guest's reaction to these nominees. But first, I wanted to mention that although my producer extraordinaire, Nikki Starr, has a conflict today and couldn't be here, she sent a wonderful substitute to help us with the show. And I wanted to thank Demos, who will be handling the chat today and letting us know if there are any questions or comments that they would like to be shared on the air. And then we are inviting people to call in with their favorite mystery movies, and that number is 646-478-5668. That's 646-478-5668. And now it's my very great pleasure to introduce Diana Sanger, who's a frequent and very popular guest on our show. She's the founder and editor of Classic Movie Guide and a regular contributor to Real Talk Reviews. But she also serves as the entertainment editor for the East County Gazette. She's a senior writer for Script Magazine, a film critic for a number of newspapers, such as the La Jolla Light, the Del Mar Times, the Solana Beach Sun, and Carmel Valley Leader. She even operates her own entertainment syndicate called Sanger Syndicate, and she sold more than 1,000 short stories, articles, or features to newspapers and magazines. As if that weren't enough, her articles or quotes have appeared in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Hollywood Reporter, Daily Variety, and the San Diego Union-Tribune. She's past president of the San Diego Film Critics Society and the author of a book that I refer to constantly called Everyone Wants My Job, The ABCs of Entertainment Writing. Wow, what a busy lady. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Diana, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us again.
Thank you, Betty Jo. I think I better send shorter bios next time.
Well, I just am so impressed whenever I look at that bio, and it seems like each time there's something new that's added to it. But to get things done, you always ask a busy person to do it.
That's what I've heard,
and you certainly prove that particular saying. And it's always just great fun to have you on the show. I was wondering what your reaction is to the AFI's list of 50 nominees in the mystery genre. I know that they are naming the top 10 in more categories than this.
10 categories, right.
There are 10 categories, and
yep.
I think that's animation, fantasy, romantic comedies, sci-fi, western, gangster, sports, courtroom drama, mystery, which is what we're concerned about today, and then epic. So I hope everyone will turn on the TV tonight on CBS and see which films get to their top 10.
Yeah, I'm
they have
it
50 nominees in each category, I believe.
Right.
So I haven't checked any but the mystery one because that's my favorite. So what do you think about the 50 nominees in that category?
Well, you know, that's a tough job. I mean, and just, you know, you wanted me to get down to my top 10. Just looking at the 50, I started just, you know, putting my favorites up there, and, whoa, there was a lot more than 10. So I had trouble getting down to 10. I'm sure they must have, too, as many people as they had vote on them. So I think they did a good job overall, and I think it's appropriate. I think it'll be an exciting show to watch.
I think it will be, too. But the thing that impressed me about this list is so many Alfred Hitchcock films
absolutely
are nominated, and you could almost say, well, he has 9 on the list, 9 out of the 50, I believe. So you could almost say, well, I'll pick 9. I'll pick the 9 Alfred Hitchcock movies, and then one more.
Well, you know, the people who vote are a very mixed group. I mean, it's a mixture of everyone across the board, from professionals in the field to just everyday people who join AFI and can vote. So
I think
you're going to see a lot of favoritism, of course, towards the big classics. But, you know, the recent years, I think, are going to probably have some entries in there, too, just to, you know, please everybody, if you say.
That's probably what will happen. But you mentioned the big classics. Which films on the list do you think are the true classics or the big classics?
Well, it's funny when people, because I do classics, people always ask me, well, what is a classic? And today it's more or less defined not as by years, which are really moving the scale forward on us on the year of movies. But one that stands out is memorable and is rented or adapted time and again. So with that in mind, I think most of these films on this list are considered classic.
Even Gosford Park?
Well,
I didn't care for that.
You know, it has its own genre, I think. I mean, that was a very eclectic film. I enjoyed it very much, but, you know, I suppose in a mansion, it might fit in one of those little tiny rooms.
It was more a commentary on the mores of a certain type of society, I think, in that
time.
Yeah,
there wasn't very much mystery to it, actually, was there?
No, and no. I picked out the who did it at the very beginning, and I don't like that in a mystery. And as much as I love Robert Altman's most of his films, I think he did some clunkers, but that one I just couldn't see on this list. Do you have any favorites from the list, though, that really did stand out for you?
Favorites? Let's see. Well, I have my favorite 10 that I picked.
Yes, please.
Chinatown, Dial M for Murder, In the Heat of the Night, L.A. Confidential, Laura, The Maltese Falcon, Memento, Murder in the Orient Express, Rear Window, The Usual Suspects, and Vertigo, which I'm sure if you and I are true to form, your list will be totally different.
Well, it's different in some regards, but let me see. You went by so fast on that. I had Charade, L.A. Confidential. You had L.A. Confidential,
uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
I had Laura.
Uh-huh.
You had Laura. Mulholland Drive. Did you have Mulholland
No.
Drive?
No.
Rebecca?
No.
Didn't have that. Vertigo? You had Vertigo.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, if you didn't have Vertigo, you'd be in big trouble. And Chinatown. I did
yes.
have Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
Suspicion? Did you
No.
have that? Didn't have Suspicion. And I had Hound of the Baskervilles and Murder on the Orient Express. So those
have,
are my...
I had that one. You didn't have Rear Window.
I did not have rear window. Now, I could go with rear window if I would be making some predictions as to what would, you know, what's going to show up tonight. That one would probably be one that would get my vote as being likely. But that's interesting. We liked LA Confidential, Laura, Vertigo, Chinatown. Those are the ones that we had.
Well, now that was my 10 pick for tonight, but not necessarily in my top five.
My top five
are The Usual Suspects for its phenomenal twist.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's one of my favorite all the time. And Rear Window, and I've always liked that, but I, as you know, I went to the 100th birthday anniversary salute to Jimmy Stewart at the Academy this week, and they showed clips of many of his movies. It was an incredible event, and they showed part of Rear Window. And the incredible scene where he's in his wheelchair looking out that window and absorbed by his neighbor, so absorbed, with Grace Kelly sitting in his lap and seducing him and kissing him, and he can't get his eyes away from her face fast enough to keep looking out the window. I mean, it's an incredible scene.
That's right. I remember that scene. Jimmy Stewart was just, I was so jealous when I heard that you were going up to that tribute. And Jimmy Stewart was one of Alfred Hitchcock's favorite actors.
Yes.
that he used in the film. So you the films that you gave were the predictions that you
made as to what would be turning. And I also liked Laura because I think that film, you know, it begins with a dead woman, Jean Tierney, but then it goes into these flashbacks and it pits the mild-mannered detective Dana Andrews against the old and mysterious boyfriend Vincent Price. So I think that sets up some interesting dynamics there that is very compelling.
I like Laura, too, and Laura was on my top 10, would be on my top 5. I also am predicting that it will be one of the top 10, even though it isn't directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It's really Otto Preminger who directed that.
Right.
But it's one of the most haunting mysteries, I think, that was ever filmed. That twist in the middle of the film, just you go, wait a minute. This can't happen.
Yeah.
This can't. And the haunting theme, the music in that movie really, really helped it. The performances by Clifton Webb,
right.
Vincent Price, it just really, it's an almost perfect movie, and especially in the mystery genre. So that one would definitely be in my top five. Vertigo, I think, will also make it not just to our list, but to the top 10 that's announced. That movie is next to Singin' in the Rain, my all-time favorite movie of any genre. I just believe it's the most powerful portrayal of obsession ever on film. The way that Jimmy Stewart's character fell for Kim Novak's character, whether it was in her original scenes, on her first scenes in the film, or later when she becomes an entirely different person, and how he absolutely could not get over this obsession. Just, it is so well done. I think everyone in the film performed brilliantly. And the music, the cinematography, I think it's going to definitely be on that list tonight.
I'm sure you're right.
And I'm surprised that you didn't mention Charade.
Charade is in my top five.
Oh, it is?
I don't think it's going to make the 10 list.
You don't?
No. But, you know, I mean, you get a romance with Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn throwing some murder and missing money, and hey, I'm there.
Yeah, that's true. Another one not directed by Alfred Hitchcock, but
right.
It's a great cat and mouse mystery.
Yeah.
I just, every time I watch that, I get such a kick out of Audrey Hepburn's character falling for Cary Grant and not really knowing whether or not he's a good guy or a bad guy, but she still falls for him, and she thinks
there's so much chemistry between them. It's just great.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful looking film. But I hated the remake that was made, what, 3 or 4 years ago, The Truth
mm-hmm.
About Charlie?
Right.
With Mark Wahlberg. It just shows that some of these classics probably should not be
That's
remade.
The only remake that I've found worthy in the last, 10 years is 310 to Yuma. Other than that,
yeah.
I don't think they should even bother.
Yes, that one I think would be my favorite remake, I think of all time. And then we had Chinatown. Both of us had Chinatown. So what did you like about that?
I'm not crazy about Chinatown. It is in my prediction, but it's not one of my top five.
I see.
I mean, it's a strong, strong movie for everything about it, the director and Nicholson and the cast and the story and the twist and cinematography. And, I mean, it's full of awards that it deserved, but it just, I didn't feel warm and fuzzy about it.
I liked it because it really had quite a complicated
It was.
Case
Maybe
of,
that's what I didn't like. It was
that's what you
complicated,
didn't.
I
kind of liked that because it kept me wondering, kept me wondering what was really happening there and all of the intrigue. It was an excellent example of film noir. I wasn't surprised when it won the Oscar for screenplay. It certainly had some wonderful performances with Jack Nicholson, John Huston, and Faye Dunaway. I think they were in top form in that particular film. You also had, was L.A. Confidential one of your favorites or just a prediction?
Just a prediction. My other favorite was In the Heat of the Night. That was the last of my favorites.
In the Heat of the Night.
Mm-hmm. And I like that because it's complemented by a timely topic, 1968 racism, which I think is a significant standout when a film marks a season for a reason or an error. I think it's also an example of a film that's benefited by its setting. The sultry South adds friction and oppression, and all that actually becomes a silent character that steers the mystery, I think, exceptionally well, in addition to, what's-his-name's performance?
Oh, Rob Steiger and Sidney Poitier.
Yes. Yeah, both of them. Rod won an Oscar, actually. So,
yes, and it did win Best Picture.
Yes.
So I had that on my list of predictions as to what will show up on the top 10.
So what's your other favorite fives?
My other favorite five, top five. Well, of course, I have Vertigo,
uh-huh.
Charade, Laura, Chinatown, and Mulholland Drive. Although Mulholland Drive does give me kind of the willies because I think it's one of the best mysteries ever made, as well as one of the worst mysteries ever made. I think it's kind of a cinematic Rorschach test. Instead of ink blots, figuring out what's meant by the ink blots, I'm trying to figure out what David Lynch had in mind in the last part of the movie. I mean, I thought the first part of the movie was just brilliant. But it's just it's just with me. It's with me now, and I saw it back in 2001. So, and I'm willing to see it again, see if
that
I can figure,
it's a classic.
Figure it out. So I think it's definitely a classic. So those are my five favorites. But my predictions for the 10 tonight would be Vertigo, Chinatown, Rebecca, The Hound of the Baskervilles, Laura, Rear Window, Third Man, In the Heat of the Night, North by Northwest, and The Maltese Falcon. Now, North by Northwest, I think, is a shoe-in for being named tonight as one of the top 10. It's probably Hitchcock's most exciting visual film. Oh, with Cary Grant being strafed by the airplanes,
mm-hmm,
and those scenes
right.
on Mount Rushmore, and it's just a terrific mistaken identity mystery. So I think that one will probably be on. I see we have a call, so hold on just a minute, Diana, and let's see if I can connect this caller. Hello, caller 607. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters. Thanks
Hi, Betty
for calling.
It's the real jazz.
This is the real jazz, Diana. This is jazz, and
not fooling us this time.
No, he's not the impersonator. Well, thank you for calling in, Jazz. Do you have some reactions about the best movie mysteries ever made?
Yeah, I was telling Demos about this earlier. I'll admit, at first, I had a bit of trouble with the topic because I'm not used to hearing mystery described as a genre for films. And a lot of the movies on that list, I love mystery books, but I tend to think of a lot of the ones on the list as being more crime dramas or, you know, and certainly I guess when I stop and think about it, they would be mysteries, but I guess I'm too ignorant on movies to have known that there was a whole separate mystery genre. I think there's a lot of
Well, now you are not ignorant about films. I know that you're not because you've called in with some very intelligent contributions, but here's the way the AFI defines mystery. A genre that revolves around the solution of a crime, steeped in the unpredictability of human nature and wrapped in a tangle of plot twists. Mysteries inhabit a world where the secrets are dark and the agendas well hidden. Unlike the open-endedness that characterizes so much of real life, a movie mystery delivers the ultimate satisfaction of a solution in the final reel.
Well, then I may have a couple on my list which won't qualify, and you two can slap me down.
Oh, we'll do that.
Because actually, one of the last one I had on my list of five, and now that you read that, I don't know if it will qualify. I was going to say To Kill a Mockingbird was on my list, but I don't know if that would qualify as a mystery by that definition.
That's more of a drama.
More of a drama, right.
Okay. Well, some of the ones I also had were picked up after you sent me that note that were on the list, one of them at least, Maltese Falcon, I have in my collection. It's one of my all-time favorites with Bogey. Another one from that group that I didn't see on the list, and maybe this one won't make it either, was Key Largo, which seemed like a mystery to me because you didn't know what was going to happen until the end.
Was there a crime in Key Largo?
There were several.
Okay, so why that isn't on, I can't understand either, because that's really a fantastic film.
And I had picked also Chinatown, which you guys already mentioned. And then the last one that I picked, I realized at the end, even though we did see it in a local theater once, I guess it was not really a big screen release because it was originally made for television, was The Mother Hunt. But it was actually produced by the Arts and Entertainment Network. It was one of the Nero Wolfe mysteries, although it was a two-hour, you know, extravaganza. It was certainly long enough and big enough to be a full-length feature film. But it was directed by Alan Smith. And, you know, if you ever read the whole series of Nero Wolfe mysteries, I mean, they were just such fabulous books. And they made a long series of made-for-television movies out of them.
Probably the television movies would not qualify. They have, the AFI has some interesting criteria here. It has to be a feature-length fiction film and has to be an American English language film. It has to have received critical recognition, some kind of recognition in print. It has to be a major award winner, either by film critics groups or by you know, like the Oscars or the American Film Institute itself. It has to show popularity over time, has to have some historical significance, and has to have a cultural impact on American society and matters of style and substance. Wow.
So, well, then I guess I'm down to just Chinatown and Maltese Falcon, and as I predicted, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what you're talking about, and we can agree with you, but in terms of what AFI is doing, but the two that you picked are just fantastic. The Maltese Falcon, though, I still haven't been able to figure out everything about that film, and that's sort of the beauty of it, isn't it? I mean, you can go back and watch it a number of times.
I can't even count how many times. We've talked about that before. I have the entire Bogey and Bacall collection and then a lot of other Bogart films on DVD in my own private collection that I watch just repeatedly. I could recite most of Maltese Falcon, too.
I think you can.
I probably still don't understand the whole thing.
Well, good. I feel better. Jazz, will you stay on the line? I see we have another caller.
You know what? I'm going to go back on the speakers, as a matter of fact, because, you know, my phone battery has been giving me trouble. But I want to thank you for taking the call.
Well, thank you for calling in. We always appreciate hearing from you, Jazz.
Thank you, Betty Jo.
Bye now. Hello, area code 609. You've reached Movie Addict headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Hey, Betty Jo. This is Fausta. How are you?
Fausta is calling. I'm so glad you called, Fausta. Say Say hi to Diana Sanger.
Hi, Diana.
Hello, Fausta.
Nice meeting you.
You too.
Two of my favorite people here. Fausta, did you have, I think you have a favorite mystery that probably, because we've communicated a little bit about this before, that's one of my favorites. Why don't you tell Diana what your favorite mystery is and why?
Well, I like charade, and I know it's not like a real mystery, but I love charade because it's got, first of all, it's got Cary Grant, then
Yay.
It's got clothes by Givenchy, and it's got Audrey Hepburn. It's like, what is there not to love?
Well, I said, right.
I like the way you think, Faust.
But in the mystery, another Cary Grant movie that I really loved is Suspicion. That was such a good movie.
Suspicion, that's an Alfred Hitchcock movie back in 1941, and I think it was just wonderful. I loved Joan Fontaine's
yes.
performance in this. She won an Oscar for this, and I absolutely believe Joan Fontaine completely whenever she plays one of these characters like she played in Suspicion, a woman who marries this charming man, but he's quite enigmatic, and she starts to believe that he might be a murderer. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, they had to change the ending.
They what?
Apparently, they had to change the original ending.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I read about that. There was a book on Hitchcock that my son was reading, and apparently they had to do that in that movie because the first ending that Hitchcock gave it was a real bummer.
So, well, we don't want a bummer.
That's right.
But
I was looking at the list. Did they list Gaslight in that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I missed it.
I think it's in there, isn't it, Betty?
Well, yes, it is. And I'm going to very, very quickly go through the 50 nominees. We've mentioned some of them, but I'm just going to read them very fast. And then there were none: The Big Easy, The Big Heat, The Big Lebowski, The Big Sleep, Blowout, Blue Velvet, The Bourne Identity, Charade, Chinatown, The Conversation, DOA, Devil in a Blue Dress, Dial M for Murder, The Fugitive, The Game, Gaslight, Gosford Park, The Hounds of the Baskervilles, House of Games, In a Lonely Place, In the Heat of the Night, Kiss Me Deadly, Clute, L.A. Confidential, The Lady from Shanghai, The Last of Sheila, Laura, The List of Adrian Messenger, The Maltese Falcon, The Man Who Knew Too Much, Memento, Mulholland Drive, Murder on the Orient Express, The Naked City, North by Northwest, The Postman Always Rings Twice, Rear Window, Rebecca, Seven, Sea of Love, A Shot in the Dark, Sleuth, Spellbound, Suspicion, The Thin Man, The Third Man, To Catch a Thief, The Usual Suspects, and Vertigo. What a list.
You know what's interestingly missing, Betty Jo?
What was missing?
It's not a favorite of mine, but AFI has classified it as one of the top 10 greatest movies of all times, Citizen Kane.
Is Citizen Kane a mystery, though?
Is there a crime in it?
It is. It has a death in it. Yep.
Was the death a murder?
I'm not sure, but it says mystery thriller on IMDb.
Well,
does it?
So
oh.
they must. I bet they have it in. They probably have it in. In drama, but that's
my favorite of all is not on there. The Illusionist.
Oh,
The Illusionist.
I love that movie. Oh,
that's
let me
one
tell
of
you.
Our. That's one of our. That definitely is one of our favorites. Well, just to show you how lowbrow I am. One of my favorites didn't make the list, and I'm very, very upset about it. And it's a movie that just was so, I mean, looked so slick and was so entertaining. It's called Midnight Lace. It's a 1960 movie with Doris Day and with Rex Harrison and the wonderful Roddy McDowall.
Ooh.
It did get an Oscar nomination that year for Best Costumes. Oh, the costumes were just wonderful. And Doris Day got a Golden Globe nomination as Best Actress. But I think it was just such a mainstream movie. It just was so slick. And it was kind of a Gaslight-themed movie because Doris Day played a woman, American woman who married a British businessman. And she, you know, moved over to London. And then it's how she kept hearing this voice in the fog, and the voice, you know, kept getting these crank phone calls and these threatening phone calls, and she just slowly became hysterical because the police wouldn't believe her, nobody would believe her, and so it was just, I just love these Women in Jeopardy movies, I don't know why. But that's one to put on your list. Did either one of you see that?
No, and I'm going to have to see it because I love Rex Harrison.
Oh, and he was excellent in this.
I mean, The Ghost of Mrs. Muir is like one of my favorite movies ever since I was like a little kid.
Yes, it's just so don't miss this one. I'm sure it's out on DVD, and if you like Rex Harrison and you like Doris Day didn't do too many dramatic roles. But she was just fantastic in this, and she didn't sing at all.
Oh, good.
But she,
you know, one thing about Memento, I didn't really understand it. I saw it again, and I didn't understand it the second time.
You did understand Memento?
I did not.
Did you, Diana? Did you understand Memento?
Well, I understood it. I didn't like it. But it's been, you know, it's been out there so much talked about that's why I put it on my list, because like I said, I think some of those people that are voting from today's perspective, we're going to include that. So, but it's not my favorite either. You know, I don't want to have to work when I go to the movie. I want to be entertained and enjoy it. I don't want to have to watch something all the way through and then have to refigure it into my mind as to what happened.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. I'm very linear in my thinking and like the linear storytelling. So although Guy Pearce is one of my favorite actors, I just was lost in that movie. So it definitely isn't on my list. I think I'll check with Demos now to see if there's anything from the chat that he would like to bring up, any reactions. Demos, are you there? Hello? Well, I think.
That's coffee.
He's probably chatting.
Well, we didn't
chatting.
Talk about our directors.
He's probably, that's right. Well, I see we have another caller. Quickly, I'm going to take that.
Hello?
Hello, area code 828. You've reached Movie Addict headquarters. Hello?
Hi, Betty Jo, 828. Still, there you go.
There we go. Area code 828, thank you for calling Movie Addict headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Oh, this is Wild Wagon.
Wild Wagon. I'm so glad to hear from you. Do you have some favorite mystery movies you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I have one mystery movie. I think it was not on the list. And that was Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy, that's the one with Warren Beatty?
Yeah.
And Madonna. And I wonder why that wasn't on the list. I can count on you, Wild Wagon, for something different. And now for something completely different. What did you like about it?
I just like the whole gangster plot thing.
Well, do you know what I think? Maybe it's on their gangster list because that's one of the categories that they're watch tonight. Watch the CBS show. And maybe Dick Tracy is one of the nominees in the gangster category. So, well, it's great to hear from you. Were there any other mystery movies that you really especially like?
The other one was like Sixth Sense that Demos listed in the chat room.
Oh, the Sixth Sense. In fact, I think M. Night Shyamalan is probably one of the filmmakers today that comes closest to Alfred Hitchcock. I think he uses a lot of Alfred Hitchcock's techniques in his story making. This appeal to, you know, that he always has an everyman in the movie, and he doesn't show a lot of gore, and he leaves a lot to the imagination, which I appreciated in all of Alfred Hitchcock's films. So that's a good suggestion. How about you, Diana? Do you think that there's anyone who compares with Hitchcock today in terms of making mystery thrillers?
Well, no one can compare to him. The only other one that I would really mention is Fritz Lang. You know, he was an early director in the 40s and 50s with a lot of thrillers and a lot of noirs, you know, and always tapped into the actors, Edward G. Robertson, Gary Cooper, Glenn Ford, you know, but he's got many, many mystery movies. Cloak and Dagger, The Woman in the Window, The Big Heat, Ministry of Fear, Manhunt, Scarlet Street, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And,
wow.
Yeah, he was the director of that era, I think, but no one can match Hitchcock, although I love Clint Eastwood, too. You know, he can direct anything, and... you know, he's got Mystic River, True Crime, Garden of Good and Evil. So that's two.
Yes, yes. Thank you for mentioning those. Diana, why do you think people enjoy mysteries so much?
Because they get to be part of the movie experience, you know. Mysteries make you think. They keep you guessing. Sometimes, like in sci-fis, like Hitchcock, the birds, they're edgy, a little bit scary, so you get the whole movie package.
I think you're right about that. I love puzzles. I think that the mysteries draw us in, and we try to solve the puzzle right along with
mm-hmm.
the protagonist, and they have suspense, plot
right.
twists,
right.
and discovery. So, Fausta and Wild Wagon, do you have any predictions about which films will end up as the top 10 tonight on the AFI show? Fausta?
I think... Chinatown is definitely going to be on the top five.
I think you're right. How about you, Wild Wagon?
I think the probably number one or number two will be Unusual Suspect.
Oh, yeah, The Usual Suspect. That
Why?
Was good.
Hi, Betty. Why? Betty Jo?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt, but I think you have another guest on line five.
All
righty.
Right,
well, I'll hang up. Thank you, Betty Jo. Well, I'll continue listening on the other side.
Thank you so much, Fausta, and I'll get this call. Thank you, Demo.
Thank you.
Area code 651, thank you for calling Movie Addict Headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Betty Jo. This is Wild Phil.
Wild Phil, thank you so much for calling. I'm glad to hear from you. What's your favorite mystery?
Well, my mystery guy is more like a combination mystery and thriller type shows is Stephen King.
Which one?
Stephen King.
Oh, Stephen, anything by Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a good pick, too. How about you, Diana? Do you like the Stephen King films?
Well, you know, not really.
You don't? Oh, Wild Phil. You and Diana can argue about Stephen King.
I mean, I can't discredit him as an incredible filmmaker and storyteller, you know? I mean, he definitely is phenomenal. It's just that genre doesn't really appeal to me that much. It tends to go a little bit just too out there.
Wild Phil, he might be considered his... books and the films that are made from them, Wild Phil, might be more in the sci-fi category, which I believe is one of the categories tonight also. So if you'll watch the CBS show, maybe you'll see something from Stephen King show up in that category.
I must say, while I'm at it, is that mysteries are not so much... my favorite shows, although some of the old mystery shows that I did like to watch years ago, the black and white series when they'd have them on TV, was the Sherlock Holmes episodes. But the movies that I like are more in the action category more than anything else. So those are my favorite shows.
You like the action, but I'm glad you mentioned the Sherlock Holmes television shows because they were wonderful. And I am predicting, Wild Phil, that The Hound of the Baskervilles that was made back in 1939 will be on the top 10 tonight. That was the movie that Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce played Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. And
yep.
I think that it's just a classic made back in 1939, and you can watch it today and just be as entertained with it.
Well, back when I was a young lad, which was years and years ago, since I was born in 1946, We had a lot of the old black and white shows that we used to watch back in those days, but as I was growing up, those were my probably early favorites. Then, of course, about 1960s, 1970s came along, and I started getting more into action type shows and that kind of thing.
Well, you're not alone for being a fan of action shows at all, and I identify with those television shows that you're talking about because I certainly watched a lot of them and enjoyed them very much.
Well, for me, they're like something that keeps me on the edge of the seat more at a constant pace. You know,
edge of your seat. That's
yeah,
how
exactly.
Often, Diana. How often have you and I used that in our reviews of movies?
Oh yes.
keep you on the edge of your seat. That's
right.
That is true. Another movie that I think will be in the top 10 tonight is Murder on the Orient Express, and that's an old mystery. That's one of Agatha Christie's classic mysteries. The film where Albert Finney played Hercule Poirot as the world's most fastidious detective, and he has to find out who murdered a millionaire on a train. I thought that the cast in that just sparkled. It was Lauren Bacall, Ingrid Bergman, who got an Oscar for her supporting performance, Martin Balsam, Vanessa Redgrave, Richard Widmark, Anthony Perkins, Jacqueline Bisset, Sean Connery, and John Gielgud. What a cast. And
what a cast.
I don't think that they're going to be able to pass up that one. I cannot believe that our time is almost up. We've just had such wonderful callers, and of course, Diana, you're just always so great.
I wanted to mention one of my favorite Stephen King shows was a movie called The Stand.
The Stand was just great. That Stephen King, he really knows how to keep us on the edge of our seat. Wild, I'm so glad that you called, Wild Phil, and I'm glad that Wild Wagon called, and that Fausta and that Jazz called in, and that Demos was able to help us. And thank you, Diana, for being such a great guest again. Please come back soon.
My pleasure. You know I will be delighted to.
Great. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their help in connection with this show. Special thanks to Nikki Starr, my terrific producer, for everything she does to make Movie Attic Headquarters happen, and to Diana Sanger for making today's show so much fun. Thanks also to Demos for helping out, and to everyone who listened live or to the archives or called in or participated in the chat. We really appreciate your contributions. Remember, dear listeners, to go to lifelock.com, that's LIFELOCK, and learn about the important protection services provided there that will help you protect yourself against identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America. If you use our code, REALTALK, REELTALK, it's all one word, you will receive a 10% discount. And please come back next time for another discussion about movies and check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's REEL, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
much I love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be